February the 9th, 2022. This program is brought to you by New Africa Excellent Enterprise, LLC, Miraj Speaks, Block Talk Radio, where we teach Quranic Arabic, Islamic studies, and comparative religion, not just religion. Bismillahirrahmanirrahim. With Allah's name, the merciful benefactor, the merciful redeemer, As-salam alaykum, which means peace be on you. I'm your host for this evening, Elihu Bey. My topic this evening is Al-Islam, the Tafsir of Imam Waqiduddin Muhammad, commentary of the Holy Quran. If you have missed any of the talk, go online to www.blogtalkradiomirajspeaks.com and you'll be able to listen to the talks that you have missed. Once again, we will open with a short dua, and then we will continue where we left off. Bismillahirrahmanirrahim. Wassalatu wassalamu ala rasulihu kareem. Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam mubarak. John 1:1, in the beginning there was the Logos, the Word. The Word took on flesh, meaning divine logic took on your fleshly ignorance. Now, isn't that a proof? They are talking about proof. Can religion be validated? Is religion empirical knowledge? Can religion be logically substantiated? You fool, you. It is more powerful than any of the logic you have ever heard or ever will hear of. In fact, your logic is non-logic. In the beginning, there was the logos. It is all logic. So yours is grafted logic. The Bible says, in the beginning, there was the Word. The Word is logos, logic. So if from Word it says, then the Word took on flesh. And divine logic took on your fleshly ignorance. It had to bring your flesh up into it. Took on means to take on responsibility for something or to challenge. If I take on Muhammad Ali, it means I challenge him. If I take on a problem, it means I challenge the problem. So I'm going to solve it or try to anyway. So I take on responsibility, it means I am going to carry it. The Bible says in the beginning was the Word, and the Word took on flesh, meaning that it challenged flesh to make growth. I'm going to have to go to fight flesh. I want you to have some more muscle. Not only that, it took on burden of flesh. I know you are nothing but Teflon, baby, something like clay, but I'm going to push you until you become a semen drop. And carry you until you become a clot of blood. It says that the Word has taken on flesh. It means God in divine truth and his message as the Word of real truth, real logic. Fetus lump means that the mind's been giving thought of somebody else. He comes into our flesh and begin bringing our mind up to high form. Then a clot of blood, and after that, a fetus lump. So what is a fetus lump? A fetus lump is a clot of blood that has grown into a flesh lump. It is more than just blood now, but it's still unstructured. So what is referring to now? So we mentioned the clay. We mentioned the semen drop been put or lodged in a place of rest into its mother's charge. Now, the clot of blood is formed, meaning that the ideas of human society, the life out of our body, our mind, is fed into the new child and give him that same blood, same life. Now, after that, God says he then makes a fetus lump. And science tells us this is exactly true for the stage of physical development in the mother's womb. The fetus lump, what is it referring to now? Fetus lump here means here that the mind has been given thoughts or the blood of the body of somebody else. So when those thoughts come into our mind, they are just going through the mind. after a while, as a child, I begin to think I know. So when I begin to think I know, that means I have been formed as a fetus lump. It is not fluid anymore. It is not running unformed. It is not blood anymore as clot or a thought in the body, but it is a thought now that has taken on something in me. Fetus lump is flesh. My own flesh now is with this thought from outside. So it means that now I have begun to come under the thought from outside. It comes into me now. I begin to form the likeness of what I was taught. I have accepted society's knowledge that it has given me. So now I speak like you speak. Speak in tongues. Bone building is an edifice, and divine truth is edifying. So bone means law. But this is not enough. God says out of the fetus lump, bone, it is not enough for me to talk like you talk. Have your mind and be formed to it a clot of flesh, not the blood that you can just easily wipe up, the blood up. The blood clot, if it clots, you can't wipe it up. But that fetus lump is flesh already. You can't do that. So the thoughts I have been put in the child so long, you can't take them out. That easily, you have to tear the flesh up and kill the thing. But God doesn't want it like this. It says he causes in the flesh bones to grow. And this is true, too, in science. Your bones don't form before your flesh. Flesh forms, then bones, then the flesh. So what does this mean? When we speak of a structure, we call it an edifice. And when we speak of logical structuring God's truth as a logical argument, we call it edifying. So in the New Testament, Paul said, there is one thing to have the Holy Ghost, and there is another thing to have the power of edification. The bones came in, and it means now I have learned how to defend my mind that I've gotten from the world. I can reason by myself now. I know how to put the law of argument in structure. I can form a premise and then begin to defend it by establishing this particular proposition. And that particular proposition, and finally I structure my argument. So I have become an argument now. God made me a Teflon, a baby that did not argue. But now I have become an argument. I think I know, saying, don't tell me. That doesn't mean that. That does not have to be right because you say so. Can you prove it? So I have bones now. Another meaning of bones in scripture is law. Why does it also mean the law? Because the law of logic is the law. The argument that you give, you are following directions of certain things you call laws of reasoning. So society then takes on laws, and they call them laws for society, but the law for the individual is the law of reasoning or his own logic. That is his own private law or his own private skeleton or his own private edifice that holds up his flesh. Some says, I have to defend myself. Don't tell me so-and-so. I have more sense than that. I can defend my own self. So thought is fluid. Fresh. Flesh means my knowledge. Bone is logic. So he means I can uphold my own flesh. So what is the flesh? The flesh means that which is with you, that has been given form and has no power of itself. So it is not mind, it is not thought. Thought is fluid. Mind is like a liquid body of laws, but flesh is something that has taken on form. So my edifying ability or my logic or reasoning holds up my knowledge. Flesh means my knowledge, my flesh is my knowledge. So I can defend my knowledge, means that I can hold up my knowledge with my argument, with my so-called logic. So bones are formed in the flesh. Logic and rational argument has formed in my knowledge. Thought comes together, seasoned, and matures to make knowledge. So you see, from blood to flesh, and then in knowledge, with knowledge, we learn how to defend that body of knowledge. And the ability to defend that body of knowledge is called logic or reasoning. And that particular body of argument is the bones for the flesh that upholds the knowledge. It says, stoma kalikin akhira. Stoma kalikin akhira, which means then another creation or a new creation. So after we have been made or created like this and have come into bone where we think we know everything, I can uphold my own, my flesh won't fall down like a lump. I can hold it up like a man. So the bones are in there now. The flesh is structured upright. My lump will not fall down. I have bones in my lump and can uphold my flesh. After you get like that and think you know everything, God says, then a new creation. He has to create you all over again. You crazy, stubborn blockhead. You have the wrong understanding. You ask, how is God going to do this? How can God create me again? He said, he who formed you in the first time is more powerful to do it again. So didn't he create babies on earth? And didn't he form societies naturally before this world went crazy and have all these weird, inhuman ideas? He know how it is supposed to populate and build up. He know how the edifice is to produce the edifying problem. He knows how edifying is to produce the edifice. The Quran, Surah 24, Ayah 35, lamp in a glass. So the prophet has knowledge on obeying God so long until there is no effort to obey. Obedience has become the nature of that person. So the morals are not like water that needs a container equals discipline. So there is no container needed, though it has already taken itself the discipline. So if there's glass holds that shape and nothing takes it out of unless you destroy the glass. But water is shaky. It has to have something to hold it constantly. So glass, you can move it about. It keeps the same shape. The high moral character of Prophet Muhammad is described neural alloy glass, pure, refined, clear glass that shows clearly the light. His character as no more like water needed, constant working on it to keep it right, or constantly hold it in check. His morals have been like glass, fixed, as God wanted him to be. So Prophet had attained that degree of moral control wherein he didn't have to constantly work on his morals. The Quran, Surah 24, Ayah 35, Allah, light of sky and earth. The Quran, Surah 33, Ayah 46, Prophet as a lamp, the Rajin Masnirin. Palms 23:5, anoint my head with oil, my cup runneth over. So light, John 9:5, Jesus, light of the world, as long as I am in the world. So we heard that God is the light of the heavens and the earth. And we heard that Jesus is the light. But here in this, it is very clear that a man is not the light. The prophet is not the light, but the prophet is a means for aiding the light, for aiding the transmission of that light to those that it is meant for. So Jesus has a lamp set in the neat, and the neat itself helps disturb, dispute the light. or diffuse the light. So this verse is telling us that a man is not the light of God, but a man in his character may help him as a reflector of what God has given of his light. If his character is right, his character will help reflect blessed tree, not east nor west, is universal knowledge. So where is this tree? Is this tree in Sinai? Is this tree in Bethlehem? Is this tree in Mecca? A blessed tree neither east nor west. A blessed tree neither east nor west. So what is God's knowledge? Is God's knowledge to be found in Mecca? Is it to be found in Jerusalem? Is it to be found in Africa or in Egypt? No. It is a tree that is not limited to east nor west. It is a tree that is universal, universal knowledge. So God has blessed us with a universal knowledge. So his knowledge is universal. It is not limited to a race or to a nation. His knowledge is universal. His light is universal. His light covers both the spiritual realm and the material realm. So his knowledge is not a knowledge that addresses spiritual matters and ignore material matters. His knowledge includes both the material realm and the spiritual, the earth and the sky. Where is that knowledge? A parable of it is that the tree blessed by God, of that tree, in the essence of substance, oil, essence of the tree. So the tree itself is wood. The fruit is an olive. The Shriners, they went to Africa, to Egypt, for the light. They went west. Egypt is west. They went west for the light. East represented by China and India. And there are some who go to India and China for the light. That's going east for the light. Mecca is central. It is not in the east and not in the west. West Africa, east is Asia. So West Africa, east is Asia. Mecca is mid-east. It's between east and west. Mecca sits between east and west. So in a symbolic way, Mecca represents that this is not east nor west, but the light itself is universal. So if God says it is not east nor west, he means that it cannot be found in any locality isolated from his creation. So the knowledge extends over his whole creation. The knowledge is universal. Jesus said, I am the light as long as I am in the world. He said that nevertheless, I must go away. Is that right? Okay. So Jesus said that I'm the light as long as I am in the world, meaning that when I die, I'm not the light anymore for you. So that's not a good parable of God's light. So it's not used in the Quran. Allah doesn't say in the Quran a parable of God's light is Prophet Muhammad or a parable of God's light is Christ Jesus. No. A parable of God's light, creation itself. So glass is conscious, moral, of prophet. So the glass of the lamp helps represent the good conscience, the moral, high moral refinement of the prophet himself. The glass, it doesn't reveal something, it hides something and reveals something untruthful. Clear glass shows you exactly what's behind it. The prophet's conscience and has nature has was clear. So what God revealed to him came out of the reflection perfectly as he received it. So his very character was the aid for diffusing or that he received. His very character was a means for conveying light. So the nature is called character. So when we speak of a nature of the inner person, the inner being, or the mind, the personality, the conscious, the moral makeup of a person, We speak of that nature. We call it character. So when it goes bad, we say, oh, he has bad character, you see. But we are talking about the nature. So Prophet Muhammad, prayers and the peace be upon him, had the best nature. He had been made right. So right that his nature became supreme example for all other humans to follow. So conscious, his very nature was as a clear glass that reflects the light of God without any impediment or disruption or corruption, nothing blocking the way of God's light. So this is the light of God, and a lamp setting in the niche, and a prophet setting amongst them. And he himself had been so turned, so finely tuned to the will of God and to God's revelation, that his reflection of God's knowledge as through glass, clear glass, is bringing it to the people. People, as the niche, receives it and they diffuses it outward so that the whole community, the whole society gets a bit of that light. People being addressed by the light of God through a prophet whose moral nature, character, is so fine, so finely tuned by what God commands, that he is no obstructions, that no part of his being is a hindrance to obstruct the guidance or the light of God that comes through him as a messenger. So this is the beautiful sign of that light. So the light without the glass, it doesn't diffuse nicely. But when you put a glass, a clear glass, about the light diffuses nicely. The heat is contained in the glass. The light and the heat are diffused evenly because of the glass. So it's necessary for us to have the right conscience. The right moral makeup, the right moral character. If we don't have this, then somebody will get burned. But if there is a glass, they will stick their hand and hit the glass and won't directly to the fire. So the character should be separated from the fire and yet befitting from the fire. Is that right? So here, character now surrounding the fire. Fire is burning within the character. In other words, knowledge is coming into my own mind. But my character is protecting that knowledge. And that knowledge is shining through my character. So the knowledge shouldn't come through my intellect to you. It should come through my character to you. Oil refills the knowledge. So the oil itself is without fire to it, appears to have light. The oil itself appears to have light. So here, oil is referring to the knowledge. So this is knowledge. The knowledge is oil. And that clear liquid is inflammable. It burns a clean burning, not a lot of black smoke, dust, choking stuff, clean burning. Oil burns clean. No impurities in it. So the oil is transparent. You can't look through the tree. You can't look through the olive. But the oil is transparent, which means that it emits understanding. It emits vision, perception, oil. Being clear means God revealed it will show up other things. If I put olives in a cup of olive oil, I can see the olive in the olive oil. And then if there is darkness and a light, the olive, the light will show me what is in the dark. Is that right? So the oil has the power to show what is in it. If it is not pure, not right, or if it has matter, gross matter, it will show up in the oil. Gross matter will show up in the oil. But the oil also has the ability to give off light. So if there is a darkness, the light, the oil has the ability, the power to give off light and show us what is hidden by darkness. So this is the way that God's light is. The purity of light is seen in the very essence of the knowledge itself. Pure knowledge doesn't show us trees, fruits, the might, 175-pound man, blue garment, a red sheet, a white sheet. True knowledge doesn't show us that. Surface knowledge shows us that. True knowledge shows us the essence of truth. The essence of truth, the true knowledge, strips gross matter, grossness, and shows us our universal light or one universal knowledge. So matter is energy. So this matter, what is it? What is the fruit? The fruit is matter that is formed because of certain activity, growth. So the matter is composed of certain particles, small particles, and certain charges. So when we begin to strip this fruit down, eventually, what will this fruit transform? The fruit transparent, eventually will make that fruit transparent. We will reduce that fruit to what? Energy. And energy is invisible, isn't it? What is it matter? So matter is energy. Energy you cannot see. So if we reduce matter down to its finest or lowest denominator, the lower state of pure state, we won't have gross matter anymore. We will have energy. So God's light is like transparent, means that God's light holds the knowledge for understanding the gross matter. So with God's knowledge, you can understand the gross matter. You can remove the veil of the fruit and see its essence is of transparency. So you can remove the veil of a 175-pound man and see his essence or his transparency. You can remove the veil of the gross matter and see its essence. Its essence is transparency. Fire is understanding. So the fire is understanding the knowledge we get out of the knowledge. So, and you can't get that without applying your intelligence. When you apply your intelligence, then there is a friction and an activity between what you are studying, and that activity helps bring light to your mind. Is that right? And the light that comes from the oil is not touching. The light is not touching the oil. The fire is not even touching the oil. So there is a space between the oil and the fire. So the fire there represents the activity in the human mind. The activity in the human cannot touch God's revealed truth, meaning that you can influence it with your own thinking. Your thinking will not influence it. You cannot come to touch with it. So you must get it from a distance. There must be a space that keeps you out of influencing that knowledge, and that shape that keeps you out from influencing that knowledge and keeps the knowledge right and keep you right. It keeps you human and keeps the knowledge divine. But some people want to be in the fire. They don't want to get the light from the fire. They want to become the fire. So that's not the way God did it. The oil, the essence of truth, it will give us light if we apply our intelligence. Then there will become a came of flame. The flame is said by the oil. The activity of our intelligence is said by what God has revealed. But our activity is not in direct contact with it. We must get it from a distance. What is that distance? We may call it many things, but what distance represents is one word, faith. Faith. faith stands between us and what we are studying. And if you eliminate that faith, then you come into the fire. And baby, it will burn you up. But as long as you have faith in what has been revealed, you don't come into the fire to influence it. That is, pardon me, you don't come into the oil, not the fire. Correction. You don't bring your own intelligent activity in the oil to influence the oil. Your own activity is separated from the oil by a space of faith. The Quran, Surah 2, Ayah 79, change scripture. So the believers, they change, pardon me, the disbelievers. They change the book. Those that don't have the right faith, they change the book. They change the oil, and the oil loses its original value. And then it can't produce the good flame for the world. Yes, this is the parable of God's light. So the Nietzsche itself also works to cast the light in the room, to help spread throughout the room. So the glass reflects the light, helps throw it out too. So here we have light that is receiving help to be spread evenly throughout the room. So the Nietzsche helps the glass help. And the people, as the Nietzsche receives it, and they diffuse it outward so that the whole community, that the whole society gets a bit of that light. The Quran, Surah 25, Ayah 6, Allah made night, day to follow each other. The Quran, Surah 57, Ayah 28, double portion of mercy. 2 Kings 29, double portion of spirit. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said he made the night and the day to follow each other in succession. That is the Quran. So the expression darkness, in quotation, refers to concrete objects. So in the long trial of history, many relying upon his intelligence, pardon me, under the fear and awe induced to him in him by objects in the universe, many other figures in the composition of the world influences man himself has been worshipped mistakenly as God. So the same Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala who created concrete existence created the human brain, so the human heart, for his mercy, freedom from the dominance of the concrete world is what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wants for us. It is one of the two divine mercies given and promised to us in Holy Scripture. A second statement we are listing here, is given in these words. Islam is freedom, justice, and equality. Emotion, mind, light, leaf floating. The Quran, Surah 25, Ayah 23. Deeds like floating dust, and we shall turn to whatever deeds they did in this life, and we shall make such deeds as floating dust scattered about. So your mind is like a floating leaf in the wind. Whatever pushes you emotionally decides where you will be. So you come to this masjid and you get an emotional push, and it pushes you for a while. But as soon as you run into something else, another weird pushes you, wind pushes you, and we find that you are far away from where you were when we left you because you've given yourself to emotional forces, emotional influences. So you don't have any good rational sense. You don't have any rational concept, any rational ideas. And that's ruling in your life. So you need a logical principle ruling in your life to survive in this world. No one cares about you but Allah. And if it wasn't for myself, giving myself completely to Allah, I wouldn't care about you. I would be just like you, caught in the wind of influence in the world or in the society. So the human life prospers with morals. So human life can't prosper without moral vision. If you want to be successful in business world, don't you have to have some objects, some goals to rush to reach for, pardon me? Don't you have to have some business vision to be successful materially, to be successful in the business world? So we are basically, by human description, we are more moral beings, more moral character creatures. So you can be as long, you can be as wrong as you want to be. That doesn't mean that that's your nature. Your nature is not to be wrong. Your nature is to be right. And you are going against the grain when you are being wrong. None of us can be angels, perfect, without any defect, without any sin. Your imam sin. I sin. I commit sin. I'm not an angel. I'm not a perfect being. But my path is not towards sin. My path is towards Allah. And when I sin, it is because I have a weakness, because of ignorance on my part. And because I am that way, Allah loves me, and he will hurt me. He will trip me up. He will let me know that I went wrong, because he know I can be corrected. And when I know I've gone wrong, I say, oh, Allah, forgive me for that mistake. Forgive me for that ignorance. Forgive me for that sin. Forgive me for that selfishness on my part. Forgive me for that. Oh, Allah, I want to obey you. And Allah accepts the prayers of forgiveness no matter where it comes from. The greatest sinner on this earth, if he prays sincerely for forgiveness, Allah accepts that prayer. And then Allah gives you help, gives you help. I don't have the high credentials of the high class people of this world. That is the institutional credential. I don't have any credentials from any institution. No great school has given me any credentials. Some people think I went to Al-Azhar, Egypt, to school. I never went there to school. I'm a product of your school. Your children go to Clara Muhammad School. That's the school I went to, except for 3 hours of credit in English and a couple of courses, about 6 hours, and a couple of other courses, about 6 hours, and a couple of other courses. I have not schooling outside of this school. Simple fact for your life, that if you understand them and respect them and live by them, you can be successful. Not only you, but this nation would hear what I'm saying. It could come back to its good senses. Morals can be right or filthy, cowed to bad influences. So the more morals truthful, morals can be false morals and can be lies. It can be corruption. Morals are right and wrong. Morals are filthy and clean. Some people have filthy morals, others clean morals. Some have right morals, others corrupt morals. So just the mere use of the word morals doesn't make the thing right. Morals is only a word that brings to the mind right and wrong. The more moral, truthful our vision becomes, the more secure life becomes for us. It is as simple as that. I want to repeat that because if you can remember these few words, you will have essence of religious truth. The more moral truth, the more moral truthful your vision becomes, don't you know we like to be blind ourselves. The reason why most of us can't see is because we don't want to see. And the reason why we don't want to see is because we are too much a victim of bad influences to give them up. In other words, we are weak. We have been beaten down by bad influences. We have been made a coward to bad influences. We have become a junkie to bad influences. So since we can't muster up enough strength to throw off bad influences, we want to justify carrying bad influences. The Quran, Surah 26, Ayah 7, God made everything in noble paths. So culture's strongest element is true educational science. Inheriting the desert, the reference for Hagar and her children is we're not going to have any, and educating servant people inherit their culture. Go make your own. So start your own culture. It's just like going to a desert. There's nothing born there yet. So the desert has been used as a symbol for the absence of cultural development in our democracy. Culture is more than just entertainment, beautiful environment with flowers and stuff. The strongest element of culture is true educational science, because it is usually the science and education based in reality that improves the culture of a people. Take on new growth. You go up in the north and read this letter, this little sunlight. There is not much life up there, is it? So you do not go there to find the beautiful flowers and the luxurious farmland that you find in the warmer zone. So up there is the pole. You expect to find the absence of that. It is because of the sun. You get little sunlight up there. Long periods of night, short periods of daylight or sunlight. Sunrise is like the birth of the sciences. So the birth of the sciences is like a sunrise. And in time, in the sunlight favoring that area, produces just so many different kinds of growth, as Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says in the Quran, beautiful pairs and beautiful relationships. So not just with each other, but a relationship, the content is community life for the human being. So in relationships to others, beautiful growths, politics included, don't they all support each other? The beauty in the physical environment supports the soul, the spirit, and the nature of the human soul. And it gives beauty to the landscape. The rich and the poor like it, and the high up and the low people on the ground. So grassroots likes it, and it just forms relationships. And all of these contribute to our good social life as citizens. So the water that God addresses when he tells us how he started growth, everything had its beginning in water. And Genesis said, in the beginning there was the darkness, and the spirit moved along the face of the water. And things started to happen, right? So what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gave Muhammad, prayers and the peace be upon him, behind that a few centuries afterwards was tied right into that. But instead of saying in the beginning there was the darkness and giving that same story, it said everything living had its beginning in the water. So water is darkness, land is light. And then it gives seven levels of light in the Quran. And it says, and the water is darkness. So water is darkness, and land is light. It doesn't say that. I'm just carrying it further. So you don't set a fire in the water, you set it on the land. So we say he is just blowing off steam. So when the water man and the fire man, fire producer and water producer, when they get together in a clash or in a debate, if the fire is built, that fire, man is big enough every time that water man throws something at him, it turns into steam, like a puff of moisture in the air, and it's gone. It disappears. So you know the expression in the Bible, in the beginning there was the Word, and the Word took on flesh and dwelled in the life of man? That is not exactly the wording, but that it is the message. So the Quran in it, and the book is upright position. Qayyama, the Quran in the highest evolution. So the Quran is a book of previous books in their corrected form. But that is the way it is translated. But the word is in the Quran is not corrected, not exactly, but you can arrive at the understanding from the language of the Quran. But what is the exact word? Qayyama. It comes from the word, its roots is to stand up. So the meaning is standing up correctly or reaching the standard position in its highest evolution or in its highest progression. That is what the word Qayyama suggests to me. So the book is there, corrected, formed. And the book progresses to their intended progression. They were not meant to stay there. It was meant for the Holy Spirit, fire those people and guide them into further progression of understanding. So what God gave in the Quran, highly glorified is He, is language to start that interest again. So it will continue its progression until it reaches the progressive state that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala intended for the understanding of that language. So in the beginning there was the word, and you know the rest of it. I gave it just now, but you know it. We know it all by heart. So the Quran comes back with the language, with kun fayakun. So the Quran, Surah 27, Ayat 1, the Quran verses makes matters clear. Isaiah 11:6, a little child shall lead them. Interfaith transparency. The Quran is a book that comes clear open, transcription, guiding. So it's locked up against their mind, influenced by the world. Imam W. Dean Muhammad. The world stage is carrying you now for help. It's changing you for help. To make it to mankind, and the language says a lot that is being used in religious circles of education, religious people who are interested in coming together, whether they belong to the same religion or not, to address the problems of mankind and looking to see, are we contributing to that problem? And religion has contributed to that problem. And religious leaders now are coming together. Those who know that they are using such expressions as transparency. The secular world is also using that term, but the first time I heard it was years ago from religious leaders who were meeting to address the problem of society, the world, that religion might have contributed to. So the transparency is not a new occupation for religious leaders, but it is a new term and not entirely new, because the Quran says this book is a book that comes clear and open, transparent. And I think the term politically started, in Russia, when one of the Russian leaders said they wanted to promote openness. And another term that has come as an expression in scriptural reading, it is now a popular expression amongst those religious people, leaders on the world stage who want to see if we have had a role and contribute to this mess that we have in the world. if we haven't. So to correct their mistakes, they're going to read scripture again. You can have a disposition that the world gave you or gives you as a Muslim, and you read the Quran, and all of God's precious jewels are locked, and you can't get them out. You can't reach them. No road for you to go and follow to find them. And it is the same for Christians. If their minds are directed by the world, many of them can't find the precious teachings of Jesus Christ. They read the Bible, and they read nothing but rituals and stuff, and they miss the precious direction that Jesus represented as a sign for man to reconcile his life again with nature as Adam did. So he is the second Adam, Jesus Christ. Reconcile your life again with the nature created by God. And then you will find patterns for your thinking that will bring you to the great destination that God wants you to reach for, your capacity and your potential inside of you, a virtual heaven on this earth. That is what God wants for us. Innocent says, a child shall lead them. It won't be a child. It will be a grown-up, but it will be someone who is as innocent in his intent or in his design on the world. He will be as innocent as a child. So Jesus Christ, peace be upon him, said, if your child asks for bread, will you give him a stone to break his teeth or something to stone it? Bread is supposed to educate because it begins with the seed, and you grind the seed into powder, and then you add to the powder water or whatever, and you end up baking it, and it comes out so delicious. But if you would take grass seed, it would not be so nice. So in the Bible, they even call the seed stone. So actually what Jesus Christ is saying, why do you give them unfinished teaching? Give them the teaching in the first or raw state that you get it in. Use your intelligence and break it down so the understanding is appreciated and has the pleasures tasting and digesting it. That is what Jesus Christ was teaching them. And in the Quran, it says, Muhammad, the prophet, prayers and the peace be upon him, had been missioned, taught by God, and he comes to you to do what? To teach you the book and the wisdom. In Arabic, it is al-kitabu wal-hikman. Al-kitabu wal-hikman. The wisdom means that the logic for coming to or for forming judgment, the logic that directs you the way you should go to form a judgment on a particular matter. He teaches you the book and the wisdom. And it says also to purify you, because if you are not purified, if your mind is not cleansed and pollution that the world puts you in, your head is not taken out of it, you are not going to be able to read the book, not to speak of getting any wisdom. So I think we should dwell on this, the Bible scripture and the Quran, and they are giving on different levels so that the person who is informed, uneducated, can get much help from his life, and life can be sufficiently taken care of by that which is formed of the ground level, first level, but it goes to higher levels, to the most advanced intellectual thinker, and even the thinker of the saintly people who have reached the highest level of intelligence, progress for the soul. It is on all those levels, and what should be taken literally is, do not lie, do not steal, do not cheat, do not deceive, do not be nasty, Be decent. Do not be stupid. Be intelligent, etc. This is the teaching in Scripture that should be taken just like it is. It needs no interpretation because common nature tells this how to receive it and practice it right if we have the decency to do so. So we are closing out this segment here, which I think we have more than one part. So we do want to come back because I think we need to address this again. So the focus is everything in existence. And everything in existence as one word, universe. And universes is one verse. So that should tell us we should be to read it all is as one and the same reading for one line, one statement. The statement says, should say, God did this, not you. The Quran, Surah 28, Ayah 5. Allah gives us this land as inheritance. Allah says, my servant shall inherit the earth. So this has been said to people before you. They have gone up and to the top of the world and have reached all over the globe and have enjoyed freedom and power. Allah speaks of the human design and associate his gifts of grace, goodness, and all such things for that person. Now, if you want to be foolish and let the wickedly, the form creatures have it all, and deny yourself, that will be your problem. I'm a Muslim, and I say, utilize resources. It's for me. Now, if they don't measure up better than I do, I say that I will have more legitimate claim on these bounties, material grace from Allah. And I'm going to move more aggressively to get my share. If I can get enough of you to hold on to the sinners in power or in trouble, we will be strong competition for Allah's creation-based resources. The Quran, Surah 28, Ayat 7 to 10. Moses and basket. Exodus 2, 3 to 7, Moses and basket. So Moses' basket equals Jew learned from Egyptian. Moses was put in the river, and he was put in a basket. Is that right? And floated down the river to Egypt land. To Egypt. Moses was a baby when he was put in that basket. Is that right? So Moses didn't know nothing when he was put in that basket. Okay, so who taught Moses? It was Egypt. Egypts taught Moses. So Moses here, though Moses is a prophet, Moses in this story, in this allegorical, is really a Jewish people. They're telling us that they got it on the river. So river means that they got into the spiritual order. So they got into the religious society and it brought them to Egypt so that they would learn great knowledge. Now the book says that Moses was put in the basket as a baby and floated down the river into Egypt land. Is that right? So what does this mean now? Who is Moses? Moses in this story has double meaning always. Scripture always have double meaning. It's a snake with two tongues, snake with forked tongues. So when he speaks here and he speaks there too. All right, so Moses was floating down the river in Egypt on a basket. So what does this mean, Moses? And Moses, we have a picture of a whole Jacobite or Israelite society. And floating down the river means that we were not speaking in Jacob's tongue now. We were not materially strong. We were a baby. Basket represents small material strength. So the basket represents the material strength. See, basket is just a little bit of material. It's so light, you can float it on the water, right? So the babies in the basket represent the development of that society. The society morally and spiritually was still a baby. That society and knowledge was still a baby. This is the history of the Jacobite people that is known now as Jews. And their society went down the river, meaning that they didn't go into Egypt as a material society or a economic society or as a political order. They went into Egypt as a moral society. They went into Egypt as a morally moved society. They went there riding the water, meaning riding the strength of moral purity and moral power. So they went into Egypt like that. Jews came into Egypt, started with Joseph's strong morals. Okay. Can we find anything in the Bible or in the book to shine more light on this or to back this up? Yes. The Israelite or the Jacobite or themselves, they're not the same now, but I am using their name. And the same in this. They say that they are coming into Egypt starting with Joseph. Is that right? With Joseph. Doesn't Joseph in Scripture, both Bible and the Holy Quran, is a strong moral body. Joseph was honest. Joseph was sincere. Joseph was clean in his morals. Pharaoh's wife couldn't seduce him to go with her. He wouldn't steal from Pharaoh. He was so honest and so true, so upright in his morals that the Pharaoh put him over the treasury or over the storehouses. Is that right? Salakallahu Dadeen. Surely Allah speaks the truth. I'm your host for this evening, Elihi Ubay. We will continue this tomorrow, inshallah. It only means that it pleased God. We thank New Africa, excellent Murad Speaks, for allowing us to come before you once again, and we thank you, our honorable listening audience. May God guide us and have mercy on us and bless us with the light of understanding. As I greet you in the Arabic language, assalamu alaikum, peace be unto you, and thank you for listening.